road today. I got a long drive home tonight. So I have a little prayer to get started, okay? Anybody want to do a prayer for me? Ask God to put His Spirit here amongst us? Okay.
Our great God, our Father in heaven, we just give you thanks for this Sabbath day. We thank you for the message you brought us this morning, Father, this afternoon. We ask now your presence in this Bible study, your inspiration upon what will be said, Father. We ask you to give us open hearts, Father, that we will hear your words and act upon them. Please bless this meeting, Father, and let it be used to your honor, to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ken. So the reason I created a study on Gog and Magog is there's a lot of controversy about these two names in Scripture. And even in the church, there are different ideas about Gog and Magog. So I'm not here to be definitive about anything because I don't feel there's enough information to be definitive on these prophecies. I'll give you some different views and tell you why I look at it this way instead of that way maybe. But one thing I am sure of is the way the evangelicals look at this, which is that the Gog and Magog occurs. So number one is what the evangelical churches believe, for the most part. They believe that the prophecies referring to Gog and Magog in the Bible, one of them occurs before the millennium even begins. So before Christ even comes a second time, they believe a battle of Gog and Magog is going to occur. Some say it occurs before the beginning of the tribulation, okay? And there are different views out there by those folks on that. And then they say the second battle of Gog and Magog is the one that's in the book of Revelation, which you can't get around the time frame of that one. It's obvious that has to be after the millennium is over. So they have those two views. The second view is kind of what Worldwide Church of God used to believe for the most part. And I guess most Church of God groups, if you ask some of their leadership, they're probably going to go with number two here, okay? And that is that the battle of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel occurs early into the millennium, okay? Now that was news to me. I found that out from Van Stinson, and I studied some old worldwide literature, and that is what it says, okay? Some of the older stuff, that there was a Gog and Magog early in the millennium. Now, some of you were in Worldwide, right? Any Worldwiders in here? So, does anybody have a different view that you heard, or anything that doesn't jive with what I'm saying here, as far as what Worldwide taught? Okay, so they also believed, Worldwide taught, that the book of Revelation talks about a second Gog and Magog battle, which occurs at the end of the millennium. So that's a second view. Now this third view, and you can find this in some commentaries, and it's my opinion too, that Gog and Magog in Ezekiel and Gog and Magog in Revelation could be talking about the same battle, that there's just one battle of Gog and Magog. So that's another view that's out there. So there are these three different views about Gog and Magog. Again, I'm not going to get definitive because I don't think there's enough data within the prophecies to be definitive about this. But I am going to agree that number one just doesn't make sense, and I'm going to address why. Before we do that, though, when we talk about Gog and Magog, there aren't many scriptures that mention those words in your Bible. In Genesis chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, does anybody have that? Am I going to catch people reading, or should I just read?
No, we can do it.
Okay, great. So Genesis chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, can somebody read that for us?
Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras.
Okay, very good. Thank you, thank you. So here we see the name Magog in the Bible associated with Japheth. Now, what groups of people came from Japheth? Yes, the Asian people. Okay, if we go through this, people who migrated into Asia came from Japheth. So, the evangelicals push the idea that Gog and Magog is Russian or Asiatic peoples. And that's part of the reason they say that, is because of this verse. And when you look at those names through history, you find some evidence of those people being in that area of the world. There are other historical accounts within Christianity of different teachers within Christianity talking about peoples who lived in Mongolia, peoples who lived in Kazakhstan, peoples who lived in Russia and those areas as being associated with Gog and Magog. Another reason they associate those peoples with Gog and Magog is in Ezekiel 38 and verse 2. So let's quickly turn over to Ezekiel 38 and verse 2. I just want to set up who these people might be in history, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's who they are later in history. But in Ezekiel 38 and verse 2, anybody have that? Would want to read that, please? If not, I'll read it. Okay, go ahead.
Son of man, set thy face against God, the land of Magog, and the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him.
Okay, very good. So here we see that Meshech and Tubal are associated or related to Gog in some way. And when we look at historical place names, there's evidence that Meshach and Tubal could be associated with Turkey, Russia, and parts of northern Iran, at least when we look at things historically. So that's where you'll hear some evangelicals talking about the battle of Gog and Magog is going to be against Russia, or against Russia and China, and those types of ideas are out there because of that. But let me ask you this question. You guys know the word Babylon is in Revelation, right? Okay. Is that Babylon the same as the Babylon of old? No, it's completely different. It's a symbol for what Babylon was like, right? So don't forget that aspect of this, especially when we get to the book of Revelation. Revelation's very highly symbolic, and we can't get wrapped up in what Magog and Gog used to be historically and say that that's what they have to be in Revelation. Because when Revelation occurs, it's after the millennium. A lot has happened, and they could just be symbols of evil groups that went against Gog in some way, like Gog and Magog before. Okay, so keeping all that in mind, I want to look at why the evangelicals believe that the first battle of Gog and Magog comes before Christ even comes to the earth again. Okay? Again, I don't agree with that, but why do they believe that? Because we got to be able to give an answer for what's in us, okay? And if we just disagree with them, we got to have an answer as to why we disagree with them. Now, they would say that Ezekiel 38 and 39 are the first battle of Gog and Magog, okay? And they say that that happens before Christ comes the second time. Now, the reason they say that is when we go to Revelation 20, and I'm going to take a look at that, Revelation 20 and verse 7, This is speaking of Gog and Magog after the millennium. And notice what it says in verse 7 of Revelation 20. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will... I'm sorry, that's 21. Okay, let me go to verse 7. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth, surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves, but fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Now notice there's very little about Gog and Magog in the book of Revelation. When we go to Ezekiel, there's two chapters of information on Gog and Magog. The evangelicals say Ezekiel is one Gog and Magog incident, and Revelation is a second Gog and Magog incident. And why they say that, here's some of the reasoning. They say that in Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, it talks about Israel being at peace. So if we go to Ezekiel chapter 38, Ezekiel chapter 38, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 8, Ezekiel 38, verse 8. After many days you will be called to arms. In future years you will invade a land that has recovered from war, whose people were gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They had been brought out from the nations, and now all of them live in safety. You and all your troops and the many nations with you will go up, advancing like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land. So here it talks about the fact that they were living in safety. Israel's living in safety when Gog and Magog go to attack them. The evangelicals say before Christ comes a second time, Israel will be in safety. And they cite scriptures like Daniel 9 and verse 27. And if anybody has that, let's go ahead and read that. Daniel 9 and verse 27. Anybody want to read Daniel 9, 27?
Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even unto the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate.
Okay, so again, there's this covenant that some believe is made between Israel at that time before the second coming and this power that's on the earth, and there will be a time of peace, a short time of peace. That's confirmed by 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. So I'm going to read that to you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3. Here's what we read there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 3. I'll start in verse 3. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now again, this is talking about right before the time of Christ, there's going to be this short period of peace. Now, they cite those scriptures and then put them together with what we read in Ezekiel 38 to say that there's going to be a time of peace before this battle of Gog and Magog. But I want you to think about something. Isn't there going to be a time of peace when the millennium begins? Right? When God's in control of the earth, there's going to be peace on the earth, right? Okay, not at the beginning, so why not?
Because of the plagues that come after that first
fruit. Because, say that again?
The plagues.
Okay, so... Okay, yeah, right. So as soon as Christ comes, there's going to be a lot of devastation and everything. But once those people are put down, what's going to happen from that point for the 1,000 years? Okay, so they're going to rebel at some point, right? And so Worldwide would tell you that some are going to rebel at the beginning of the millennium. Okay, so that's the Worldwide opinion. Okay. Okay, so, but if it happens at the beginning of the millennium, say 100 years into the millennium, for that 100 years with Christ in charge of the earth, there will be peace, right? So for the evangelicals to say that Ezekiel 38 talking about peace and safety, they believe that's who? Who do they believe Israel is? Who do the evangelicals believe Israel is? The Jewish nation in Israel now, what's called Israel today, they believe that that is the Israel that's spoken of in Ezekiel. We don't believe that, okay? We believe in a different Israel that entails more than Judah and Benjamin and Reuben. So again, that's another reason we've got an issue with the evangelicals. They have a misunderstanding, we believe, on how to understand Israel. But if you had that perspective that Jews were Israel, and they were, you know, Israelites were Jews, then I could see how they could go down that road. Everybody sees how they could go down that road. But that's one of the reasons we don't go down that road. Now, another part of their idea is that in Revelation, when it speaks of Gog and Magog in Revelation 20, verses 7 through 9, it mentions Gog and Magog as coming from the whole earth in a sense. That Gog and Magog are coming from the earth to attack Israel. From the four corners of the earth. They say in Ezekiel 38 it says something different. Well, let's see what it says in Ezekiel 38. It says in Ezekiel 38 verse 5, it says this, Persia, Cush, and Put will be with them, all with shields and helmets. Also Gomer with all its troops, and Death to Gorma from the far north with all its troops, the many nations with you. Now the evangelicals who believe this is Russia say it's Russia because it says they're coming from the north. Now if you read that again, it just says one of these groups is coming from the north. And then it mentions all these other place names that were around Israel. Okay? So I can see this as connecting with what's in Revelation, because Revelation does not give enough detail on where exactly Gog and Magog are coming from, other than the four corners of the earth. Back at this time, the four corners of the earth were thought of as anything in the four corners around Israel. Okay? So we got to keep that in mind when we look at this. That's another reason the evangelicals are going off on a tangent there. It's because they don't realize Revelation is not giving details. Revelation is giving a general overview of what is occurring. Two verses. Ezekiel's giving you two chapters, which is a lot more detail, and we need to go to those details to maybe better understand who Gog and Magog may be. Another reason the evangelicals think that the first battle of Gog and Magog occurs before Christ's second coming is what it says in Ezekiel 38 and verse 4. Notice Ezekiel 38 verse 4. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen, fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, All of them brandishing their swords. Now, who's saying, I will turn you around and put hooks into you to bring you to battle Israel? God, that's right. God is saying, I'm going to put hooks into Gog and Magog and metaphorically bring them to battle Israel. The evangelicals say in Revelation, it doesn't say that. In Revelation, it says Satan brings Gog and Magog into the battle. Let's see that in Revelation, just so I give them their due here. Revelation 20, verse 7, notice what it says. Revelation 27. Then when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison, will go out to deceive the nations, Gog and Magog. Okay, now it says Satan in Revelation, it says God in Ezekiel. Now, so that's another reason why they say these have to be two different occurrences. But wait a minute. I see you shaking your head. I'm going to agree with you. Wait a minute. Doesn't that sound familiar? Have we heard other scriptures where it sounds like Pharaoh was hardening his heart, but then there's another scripture that says what? God hardened his heart, right? And here's another one. Here's another one. Go to 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1. If anybody gets there, please go ahead and read it. 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1. Okay, I'm going to read it. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. Now this says Satan made David take the census, right? Notice this in 2 Samuel 24 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 1. Again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, go and take a census of Israel and Judah. Now this is the same occurrence, folks. It's not a different census he was taking here. Okay? So what is Scripture saying here? Did Satan do it or did God do it? Okay, there you go. I like that. Satan is a beast on a leash. Okay, who can control what Satan does? God. So could God control Satan to go to Gog and Magog and bring them out? Yeah, exactly. So that's a possibility here. But you see why the evangelicals have this viewpoint, but we can easily discount all of their reasoning as to why they think these are two occurrences, one occurring before Christ comes, another one at the end of the book of Revelation. Now let's go on to the old worldwide view, which is still the CGI view. If you ask Van Stinson, he will hold to this view, that there are two occurrences of Gog and Magog. One is early in the millennium. We don't know when, but we know, and the reason is this. Israel, some remnant of Israel is going to come back into the land when Christ sets up, right? So that's one of the major reasons we believe this could be a battle of Gog and Magog at the beginning of, sometime at the beginning of the millennial time, because Israel comes back. And it talks about the cities are laid waste. Now, if we think of the cities being laid waste, that would make sense after the second coming of Christ, where all that battling and tribulation took place, that there would be cities laid waste, okay? Okay, so that's part of it. But and Vance said he thinks maybe 100 years in, 200 years in. He says, we don't know. But I wonder if we're 200 years into the millennium, wouldn't have the rebuilding already have started? Possibly. So I just throw that out there as a, you know, just something to think about with the old view, that why I don't hold any view is because there's some issues with all of these views, okay? So let's continue on with the old worldwide view that this occurs early in the millennium. That could make sense because the remnant of Israel will come back. When Christ returns, He's going to pull a remnant of Israel out of the other nations where they may be and bring them back into the land. But let me ask you this. Is that the complete remnant of Israel? No, it's not the complete remnant, right? Because what about Israel from Moses' time? Will they have come back to life yet? At the beginning of the millennium? No, they don't come back to life yet, do they? Right, the second resurrection, we believe, is when most of his... Now, Moses, Abraham, I can see those guys coming up at Christ's second coming. I get that. But most of Israel, who did not follow God, they're going to come up, I believe, in that second resurrection. So that would be at the end of the millennium, okay? So something to just keep in mind. Now, let's look at Ezekiel 38, verses 14 through 16 as we investigate this second view that we're looking at right now, okay? Gog and Magog early in the millennium, Gog and Magog after the millennium. Okay, let's look at Ezekiel 38, verses 14 through 16. Can anybody read Ezekiel 38, verses 14 through 16, please?
Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to God, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army.
Okay, so if we go back to the evangelical concept, if they believe this army is coming before the second coming of Christ, before the tribulation even occurs, why are they coming on horses?
Because horses are cars. How many horsepower do you have?
Okay, but when you read this, most commentators say this is pretty straightforward language. You could argue that. That's a debate we could have. But let's say they are horses. Would a military power be using horses to attack outside of Israel in the time frame we're living right now? Does that make sense? No, to me it doesn't make sense. So this would... Yeah, please. Okay. Okay, I get that. But let's think of modern warfare today. Think of the Israeli army today and how adept it is. If someone was coming against them on horses, does that make sense with the first example here that the evangelicals believe? How would someone be attacking modern day Israel on horseback today? Israel has planes. Israel has tanks. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, they have missiles. So yeah, this makes a lot more sense as being either in the millennium. Because why? What's God going to do during the millennial reign? Destroy the weapons, right? So we aren't going to have the modern weapons of warfare. So it makes sense that this would be the beginning of the millennium, possibly. Or it still makes sense that it's at the end of the millennium too, because no weapons are going to be created in that 1,000-year period that I'm aware of. Okay? So either one of those options, 2 and 3, could still make sense with these scriptures. Now, looking at Ezekiel 39, Let's read verses 3 to 9 and see a little more detail of this battle of Gog and Magog. Ezekiel 39, I'll go ahead and read this one, starting in verse 3. Then I will strike your bow from your left hand and make your arrows drop from your right hand. On the mountains of Israel you will fall, you and all your troops and the nations with you. I will give you as food to all kinds of carrion birds and to the wild animals. You will fall in the open field, for I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in safety in the coastlands, and they will know that I am the Lord. I will make known my holy name among my people Israel. I will no longer let my holy name be profaned, and the nations will know that I, the Lord, am the Holy One in Israel. It is coming. It will surely take place, declares the Sovereign Lord. This is the day I have spoken of. Then those who live in the towns of Israel will go out and use the weapons for fuel and burn them up. The small and large shields, the bows and arrows, the war clubs and spears. For 7 years they will use them for fuel. Now, they're going to be burning weaponry for 7 years. So let me ask you guys a question. That's a long time, right? Okay. Okay. Okay.
So I can just see all the bows and arrows and everything off out of that.
Right, right. So if you got a bunch of people collecting all that though for 7 years,
yes,
we're talking about probably a very large army, right? Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you a question. This gets to the 2 and 3 possibilities. Okay? If it's a very large army, think about how many people are on earth at the beginning of the millennium. What does the Bible, how many people are going to be destroyed before the millennium begins? 2/3 of the world, right? So then let's go to an area around Israel and think of what the population might be. So here's where I have some difficulty with the prevailing view that we've had in the past, which is that this happens right at the beginning of the millennium. I can see it. I can see it. But when I think of the end of the millennium, when everybody gets raised again, okay, all the people that have been dead come back to life, Satan gets out there to influence, and I think of that Gog and Magog battle, I can see that being related to what I'm reading here right now. Can anybody see that at least? I'm not asking you to agree with it, but can you see that possibility? That this possibly could be relating to what happens at the end in the battle of Gog and Magog. Yes?
You know, right now, like for the prophecy, as of today, Iran is still running and supplying the Hezbollah and Lebanon and
right.
And that's what they've done, even right in Palestine right now. Every day they send their opportunity to us, but they all back like Iran. Iran is supported by Russia. And right now the Chinese have devalued the American currency. They don't want to become this deep currency. They're looking at the Russian people.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at, I'm from South America, closer, I'm from Trinidad, but Venezuela, my next door country, China invested billion, I think it's 70 billion in Venezuela, and Russia invested 10 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening? They were buying up a lot of properties and offering free money to Caribbean islands, Brazil, Venezuela, and they say we'll build a road to go in infrastructure, we'll keep this money.
Right.
But a lot of the backing is backed by the Russians.
Right.
So what's happening is that the Russians are backing the Chinese and backing Iran. That seems to be that $1 million army. Because when I was in Israel, like it says, you know, you don't get come again until that battle is going to happen in the empire. It did seem like that army is kind of already trying to attack Israel using Iran, using the Lebanon and places like those. And they talk about Turkey. And Turkey is kind of a big player in all of this.
Yep.
So it's all sort of coming in place right now. Like, I read the church and it's saying, I church, and every day the Jerusalem Post is sending me what's going on in Israel, because they say, watch to see when the armies are on the way.
Right.
Watch to see that army's going to start. That's happening.
So let's not forget, though, when we're talking about, there's going to be a tribulation right before Christ's second coming. Most don't believe that what Gog and Magog is in that tribulation time. Okay? It may include Russia, China, you know, some of these countries may be part of that battle, but that is not the battle of Gog and Magog. It is separate from the battle of Gog and Magog. If things were going to happen right now, I can see some of what you're saying, but we don't know that things are going to happen right now. And that's something we got to be careful with, because we got to remember 40 years ago, the church had certain ideas about things that were happening geopolitically at that time that never came to pass. So we got to be very careful about thinking, oh, this could be it or that could be it. It could be, but it might not be. Yes, wait back there, Rose.
When I look at the weaponry that you just read, can you read it again?
Yeah, so Ezekiel 39, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Then I will strike your bow from your left hand and make your arrows drop from your right hand. On the mountains of Israel you will fall, and your troops and the nations with you. I will give you as food to the carrion birds." And then down further, it talked about the horsemen in Ezekiel 38. Yeah. Yeah, so that's different. So, but what they would say, here's what they would say though, Rose. They would say that that's symbolic of armaments that could be used in warfare today. I would disagree with that because of how this is written. It's more literal in my reading and other commentators, but other commentators would agree that's why they have their viewpoint, that this could relate to a battle that occurs before Christ's second coming. But again, I disagree with that Gog and Magog are part of that tribulation battle. I do believe that Gog and Magog will be a battle, and Russia, China, these countries might be part of that 200 million man army, but that's during the tribulation, which is separate from the battles of Gog and Magog. The battle of the tribulation, and even evangelicals agree with me on this, they believe the battle of Gog and Magog is separate from the tribulation battle that occurs right before Christ's second coming. So let me continue in Ezekiel 38 and verse 23. Notice what it says here, Ezekiel 38, 23. "And so I will show you my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord." Now just think about this for a minute. Let me ask you guys this question. If this occurs at the beginning, sometime in the beginning of the millennium, which was the prevailing worldwide church view, that the first battle of Gog and Magog would take place maybe 100 years, 200 years into the beginning of the millennium. Okay? Think about this for a minute. When Christ sets up His kingdom on earth, He's just defeated the beast power. He's now taken over rulership on earth, right? You see that prophecy in Daniel. He strikes that stone, okay? And He is now in charge. Won't the world that exists at that time, the people that are still alive, be aware of what just happened? Won't they? You answer the question for me.
Yes.
Okay.
So my understanding from Revelation is that when Christ returns, there is a battle.
Yes.
So
No, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is a battle.
Yes.
And what you're saying is that that battle, we have been saying that it is a God.
No, we haven't been saying that.
Okay. No. The worldwide method, but the second view.
The second view hasn't said that either. They say that first battle of God, the early millennium, mm-hmm. is after Christ has been here for a number of years. That this first battle of Gog and Magog that we read about in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that occurs maybe 100 years into the millennium, maybe 200 years into the millennium. That's what they're saying.
My question is, what difference would it make if there is two or if there is one?
Doesn't make a difference to me, okay? I'm just saying, what I'm trying to set up here is showing you some different views that are there and asking you to be careful in getting definitive about anything here. I can definitely discount number one. I feel we can discount the first view that the evangelicals have, that Gog and Magog will battle before the tribulation. I don't think that makes sense because they don't understand who Israel really is. But I see why they think that because of how they understand who Israel is. You get what I'm saying? Okay, yes.
I really appreciate your faith in how you explain and let God make the determination for you.
Yeah, that's my point at the end. Yeah.
Your teaching is wonderful.
Okay, good, good. Thank you. Let's finish. We're going to finish. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So I'm familiar with the teaching. That's not right, because what they talk about is that, you know, you have the building of the temple and three, the Antichrist coming in, you got that 7-year period. So the first 3.5 years, they're going to have that temple service.
Right.
And that's when you're going to have all these things happening. And then that's when you have the final battle, and then Christ is still coming. When Christ is here in the millennium, Satan is going to be banished.
Right.
There's going to be no way.
Okay, I agree with you on what you just said, but Gog and Magog, we got to remember, are not part of that tribulation battle, as some people think. Okay, that's something separate from the tribulation battle of the 200 million. Okay, but United may think that now, but what I'm trying to get at with number two, that's the old worldwide view, and I got the old worldwide Bible study lessons at home, which point that out, that at the beginning of the millennium, there would be this battle of Gog and Magog. Vance has confirmed that for me. He was in Worldwide. I was never in Worldwide, but I talked this over with Vance, and he agrees with what I have up there at number two for what the old worldwide view was on Gog and Magog. Two battles.
There was some error. Remember, the old worldwide is a
default. Yes, I get that. Right. So let me ask you about United today. You're saying that United today is saying there's only one battle of Gog and Magog, or they're saying
the same 3.5 years I talked about. That's the one.
Right. That's the tribulation battle that happens for a few years before Christ comes back. There's battling, and then Christ comes back. Okay. And that's perfectly fine. Yeah. So what I'm getting at, though, is there are people in the church who still have this second view, which I'm not discounting. I think it's possible. But let's get back to the question I had earlier, which was Ezekiel 38, verse 23. And so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Does that make sense at the beginning of the millennium? Okay, you're saying no. Why are you saying no?
Because to me, it can only make sense in number three.
Okay, why?
Because then they will know that I am the Lord. If it happened earlier, they would know.
Right, right. Because all those people who come back to life, many of them never even heard of Jesus Christ, right? So, yeah, so that's how I look at that. I'm not saying that the other way isn't possible. I can see it being possible, and you could debate this saying here, but for me it makes more sense that how are they going to... They already know he's just set up his kingdom on earth. He's in charge. Yeah. Zechariah 24?
14,
I think. Yeah, yeah.
Zechariah 14, where it says, if the nations are invited to come up and they do not come up, then the nations will come again and this or that.
Right. So I believe that's during the millennial reign of Christ on earth. Yeah, and I believe that's another reason why what's your first name again? Say?
Wayna.
Yeah, I always have trouble with that. So, I'm sorry. So, that's why that verse also fits in with what Christ is telling people, I got control. You're gonna come up or this is gonna happen to you. He's like sounding like he's got everybody under his thumb. Yeah. Okay.
Like if you go back and read those scriptures,
right?
They're in the millennium almost.
Right. So here's the thing.
So if you go chronologically, it would make sense.
Okay.
That this God in big God is after.
Yes, that would make sense chronologically also. So that's another argument you could make. But here's the problem with that. So when we read Ezekiel. I could read chapter 36, chapter 37, and think I'm reading it chronologically, and it's possible that it is chronological, but we can't be definitive in saying that it is chronological, because when you read the beginning of each of those chapters, it's a new prophecy in a sense. And some prophecies were given chronologically, some were not. So Vance would argue that he could see Ezekiel 37 being separate from what comes in 38 and 39. That's part of the argument against that. But I'm in agreement with you, Marie. That's kind of how I see it.
I think in this case it is chronological.
Okay.
Because Revelation is kind of like the same thing.
But yes.
Parts that you can see where it runs into the next.
Right. Very good. Very good. That, again, that's another point I was going to get to later, but you got to it now because I'm running out of time. So thanks for hitting that right now. So anybody else need to say anything right now? Because I got a couple more things. Yeah. Okay.
It's going to take a whole lifetime, a whole 100 years for them to change.
That's possible. And again, that's the argument worldwide would make,
yeah,
that people haven't gotten it together yet, and that could happen in those first 100 years. I totally get that as a possibility. I'm just saying that to be definitive about that, there's some, you know, you could bring up some of these scriptures and argue, yeah.
A quick question.
So the 100 years is just, there's one scripture in Isaiah that talks about somebody being alive for 100 years and the baby will live 100 years.
I thought that was at the end of the millennium.
Yeah, so that's what people say, that happens at the end of the millennium. And so the 100 years as far as before the Gog and Magog battle comes up, that's just kind of, to me, in talking to Vance, I don't see any scripture that says that. So again, you know, it's that's why we got to be careful with prophecy. Because people have a lot of opinions. And if it's an opinion, you can have your opinion, but don't tell us that that's definitive. Yeah.
Just a question. So this prophecy, did it have any contemporary fulfillment? Or this is when it's going to be fulfilled for the first time?
The Gog and Magog prophecy. So you mean as far as what commentators say?
What? I think he's asking if it's dual or not.
Yeah.
Is it dual? So again, that's another idea that people who argue that there are two of them, they say part of their argument is there's a lot of duality in prophecy, so that could be on that side of the argument, that there is duality in prophecy, and so maybe these are two examples here of the same thing happening in two different times. Okay? Okay, yeah.
Just to comment on... Marie had asked about whether it's here nor there, if it's one, two, or three. And it sounds like maybe it doesn't matter. Because maybe there is something to what happens to all the people who die during the tribulation and come back at the end. Maybe there is something to whether or not it is one, two, or three, because they do see a path where we're probably going to know.
No, very good, very good. When I said it doesn't matter, what I meant about it not mattering is in general prophecies. I'm not going to worry about prophecies. We need to worry about how we're living our lives, okay? That's what matters. And I want to show you the difficulty in understanding prophecies. That's part of why I'm doing this Bible study, to show you, oh, I could get that, but I could also get this, okay? And so I said it in a way I should have said more about it. But thanks for bringing that point up, Shay. You're right on. I agree with you. I agree with you. So let me get to a couple more points. I got a little bit of time left that I wanted to bring out in looking at Numbers 2 and 3 here. I think I covered most of them, but there's another... So again, the idea that one scripture... Let's look at Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Again, this is going on the idea of number 3 right now. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I always read this as being about the millennial reign of Christ on earth from the beginning of His reign to the end. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Who can read that for me?
The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His path. For out of Zion shall go forth the Lord, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall lift up sword against nation. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore.
Okay, thank you. Now, that's... I'm sorry, what do you want to say? That's Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So here's my question to you. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 has always been a scripture about the millennial reign of Christ on earth. Does anybody disagree with that? What's it saying that causes a problem with number 2? What's this prophecy saying that is trouble for
all nations?
All nations what?
Because all nations shall flow to it.
Okay, and what are these nations not going to be doing?
Cease from war.
So again, that gives me pause for the second example. Now what you could argue is that, well, you know, that's why it's early in the millennium that they haven't come to their senses yet. So, but here's the other problem I have with that. Satan isn't in the world anymore for 1,000 years. Now, and again, I asked Vance about that, and he said, well, there's still going to be people on earth who were on the earth when Satan's ideas were out there, and their influence could permeate people. So I get that argument, but I just have more on the other side, just for me personally. Yeah.
Another part of that, too, we also have our own mind to think without Satan.
That's true. That's true. Exactly.
Satan to sin.
That was the other part of it, that we don't need Satan to sin. But if God is ruling the earth during that 1,000-year time frame, and He's telling people, you better show up for the feast or I'm going to do something to you, doesn't sound like people are going to try to do anything on Him. You get what I'm saying? So it seems harder to fit that in there, but I can see how it fits in. I get that possibility. One more point I want to make about this is in Ezekiel 38 and verse 13. This is one more piece of this whole discussion. And I'll finish with this question for you. Let me read it. Ezekiel 38, verse 13. Okay, here we go. Verse 13. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all her villages will say to you, "Have you come to plunder? Have you gathered your hordes to loot, to carry off silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, and to seize much plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this is what the sovereign Lord says, in that day when my people Israel are living in safety, will you not take notice of it?" So here's what I want to focus on, these names, these place names. Sheba, Dedan, Tarshish. If this is during the millennium, if this is during the millennium, where are Sheba, Tarshish, and Dedan right now? Say it again. Right. So definitely they were places in ancient history. We can go into the Old Testament and read about them. We could also extrapolate and say, well, maybe they're going to be some places during the millennium, that wherever those African countries are, that they'll come back into their areas. That's a possibility. But what about this? When it talks about Sheba, Tarshish, and Dedan, remember the scripture in, I think, Matthew 12 or 13? Talks about the Queen of Sheba, right? And what does it say about her? Right. So what? When, and it says Queen of Sheba, right? It uses that name Sheba, right? And so what is the time frame of the Queen of Sheba being alive again?
After the millennium.
After the millennium. Do you agree with that? Yeah. So again, this is just another thing to throw into the discussion. These names could be just being used because there are places on the earth that inhabited whatever those places used to be. But then you could also say, if this is after the millennium, we know those places literally are going to come back to life and be on the earth again. Okay? So again, just another piece to digest in this type of discussion. Any questions or comments about what I went pretty quick there. It should take more time, but any other thoughts about these three concepts of Gog and Magog in Scripture?
I sort of encourage you that, you know, you don't make something defunct, like the global church is defunct.
Right.
It used to be a Sabbath weekend, it went into Sunday, it's sort of non-existent.
Right.
Because that's a defunct company.
Right.
I wouldn't bother using that as a comparison. You don't want to use the new worldwide that's converted to Sabbath keepers or kept on keeping the Sabbath. That's a good comparison. But it's still like a defunct church that went back. They would be similar to the number one because if you Sunday, Christmas, all the other things.
I got you.
They went back to Sunday church.
I should have said this earlier. Thank you for that point. Thank you for that feedback. What I should have said is, when I mention old worldwide view, you know, in speaking to Vance, there are a lot of people in the various churches, CGI, even United, other churches, who still have many concepts that the old worldwide church had in that regard. So thank you for stating that. I should have said that in a different way. Yeah, we're wrong. So I believe that is before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you say it's going to happen again the first 100 years?
No. I don't. I'm not saying it's going to happen in the first 100 years.
Possibility.
That's what some say in the Churches of God movements. Yeah, that are out there. Yeah.
Mike, I'm just wondering, does the CGI have a general stance on the view of which
So this is not in our systematic theology project. We don't have a topic that says Gog and Magog. What I'm saying here is just opinion that's been in the church for many years. I wanted to give you opinion of evangelicals, and then just another opinion. When you read commentaries, many commentators only see one battle of Gog and Magog. They put Ezekiel's writings together with Revelation and say it's the same thing. Other commentators say no, it's two separate occurrences. And, you know, Worldwide had their view of two occurrences. I'm just saying that we don't know for sure. That's my opinion, is we don't know for sure. Be careful with prophecy. This is one reason why. And focus on getting yourself together. Okay, yeah. So what I could do, I could get your email, and I'll write all this up for you and send it to you. Okay, sure thing.
But when it says watch and be, that you play one of the Sabbath.
Right.
He's got to watch his brother.
No, I agree with that. Here's what I'm going to say. One thing about watching is just having a general understanding of what's happening in the world. And when we see peace breaking out in the Middle East of some sort, we better take notice of that, no doubt about it. But right now, there's not peace in the Middle East, okay? It could happen at some point in the near future, I agree. It might not happen in the next 5 or 10 years, too, okay? Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're, as part of being the watchmen, we're supposed to watch ourselves.
Yes.
Another part is watching world events.
I agree with that.
What happens is the church gets caught up with the half that is not Christian, that's got control of the media, and is giving us lies. Should we not have a balanced view by going to the conservative side and listen to what they
So, have? Yeah, so what I do, I watch all media, okay? And the reason I do is when you watch the conservatives talk about an issue, and then you watch the liberals talk about an issue, you learn things that these guys weren't saying, but also those guys weren't saying. And then you see it somewhere in the middle, okay? Yeah.
Isn't that strange that your diversity gives those fears? About this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. And what else is funny is my sermon was on courage today, and your movie is called Courageous. I didn't talk to anybody, so. All right. Any other final thoughts? I got to go in about 5 minutes. Yeah.
So there's a recent presentation on CBI Digital Network.
Okay.
On the study on Isaiah. That the presenter, I mean, made it clear that it's also an opinion that is expressed and not necessarily what probably might also be representative of CGI necessarily.
Okay.
So, but it, and I could be wrong if I didn't understand it, but it sounded like there's an element of before that was being postulated in that understanding, which is what
was he
discounted.
Was he talking about Gog and Magog?
Specifically.
From Isaiah, though?
Yeah.
Okay, because
Isaiah... No, not from Isaiah, but somebody asked a question because of the study. So he went back to deal from Ezekiel.
Oh, okay.
But that became...
Who was doing that? Okay.
So I think that...
Okay, so maybe I'll talk to Adrian about where he's getting that idea, but... that Gog and Magog was part of some battle before Christ comes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I don't know what Adrian said exactly, but I believe that the battle of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel and the battle of Gog and Magog in Revelation, whether you believe it's two battles or one battle, I don't believe that battle is part of what we're reading in Revelation 19, where the nations are battling against Christ as He returns. If that was what He was saying, again, I'll check it. Okay. Yeah, God knows what he's doing. Yes. Okay. That's for sure. Okay. Hey, thanks for your time. Thanks for the feedback. This is how we do it. We got to do back and forth, hear what people have to say, understand where they're coming from. And like the gentleman here said, the way I put that point about worldwide, if I said that differently, he would have heard that differently than how he was hearing it. That is not the way I wanted him to hear it, and that's good for me to know. So thank you for that. Okay, gang, I got to get on the road, but it's been fun. You guys give me some energy here when I come up. So I appreciate